All right. Welcome everyone to the Energy Computing Dev Room for this year in Fosdem. I'm happy to have a bigger room this year and we also can fit more folks. So hopefully there's not going to be any occupancy problems. So welcome. Who are we? I am Fritz. This is Jo. And we have a third member, Fabiano, who's not managed to come here, but to help organizing. For the disclosure, I'm at NVIDIA, Jo is at Keloven, and Fabiano is at Intel, but this is, of course, a private thing that we organized. I want to use this welcome session for basically two reasons: to welcome you to the dev room, give you a little bit of the idea what we're going to have to expect today, but as a second thing, also give a quick background information for Convent Energy Computing. What is it? So that not every speaker has to recap the same thing on and on again, so that we can save some time for every speaker. All right. So there is the Linux Foundation's Convent Energy Computing Consortium. We had a nice social event yesterday. If you haven't heard of that, please look them up, get involved into what they're doing. It's a great thing. At this point, we're going to use their definition. I think there's many definitions of Convent Energy Computing out there. There's many ways to see what it's doing, what it's not doing. There's many opinions to be had, I think, about it. We're going to take the definition from them here now. And we can always have discussions about if that's a sensible definition or not. But according to that definition, confidential computing is the protection of data in use by performing computation in a hardware-based, attested, trusted execution environment. I highlighted the things that I think are relevant here. For me, personally, hardware-based makes a lot of sense, or is important. Initially, actually, this dev room was called Hardware-Aided Trusted Computing Dev Room. And now we only renamed it to Confidential Computing Dev Room last year. Attested. Maybe you have heard of it, maybe you haven't. I think some folks will talk more in depth about attestation later on. I don't think I will cover it really here in the welcome session. And then Trust Execution Environment, TEEs, are the thing that basically guarantees you this thing, guarantees you all of these properties. And data in use is this protection of data in use is one of the lenses to view confidential computing. This lens is basically the lens of saying we have data protection at rest by encryption, in transit by TLS, and now we also have it in use by TEs and confidential computing. Now, I'm listing some key properties here just so that you get an idea of what are common between TEs. There's still space here, you can come in. It's not that full, there's like more space here on the side. There are some common properties between TE implementations, and then there are some contextual properties between TEs. So commonly, most of them, or all of them I think, have data confidentiality. So they encrypt your data and they keep your data confidential. They have data integrity to ensure that your data cannot be changed. And they also have code integrity so that the code that you're running is also the code that you expect to run. So it's not being changed by the environment. On top of that, there are contextual properties. Not all of them, not all the TEs have them. Not all use cases need them. But I think these are properties that make sense to at least a subset of folks doing these definitions.
Exception of code confidentiality.
Code confidentiality is always, I think, was initially has a big DRM label on top of it, I think, to me at least. Of course, not everyone agrees to all of these use cases being good, but I think when looking at these are definitely some properties that are common. So code confidentiality has been one use case that has been tried in the past. Authenticated launch, kind of booting up something that you can authenticate. Programmability, that it can change what's running in the system. It's not locked in at the beginning of launching it. Attestability, again, here, the thing that we can make sure that what is running in there at runtime, I can also verify that it is running. And recoverability, in case something breaks, I can recover from issues. Right. And now I modified one figure from one of their nice white papers. You should read the white papers if you want to hear more and learn more about that. Where, let's take a look at kind of the common software stack and see what is shielded by what type of confidential computing technology. So for example, Intel SGX is something that many of you may have heard because it's the oldest that has been commercially available. And that historically, the idea has been that the app data and the library is shielded, so only kind of the application is shielded, while the OS and the process and the TSHIM is kind of in the untrusted part. So you only draw the protection boundary around the application itself. So that's a good example for that idea, or for this like shielding level is Intel SGX. And then Arm Trust Zone, I said Intel SGX is the oldest, but Arm Trust Zone is actually way older. It has just been not very accessible to kind of the developers that want to play around with it. Arm Trust Zone has had this, I think, for over 20 years already. Not sure, maybe almost 30 years now, where you draw the protection boundary around the OS. And in OS, in a Trust Zone, you have a secure world and a non-secure world. And then you suddenly can say, look, I switch over to the secure world and I have my own whole OS running there, and I can have multiple applications that run on top of my OS. And this is actually now being picked up by the next generation of TEEs in confidential computing, where we now have, for example, ARMCCA, we have AMD SMV SMP, Intel TDX. I think you will hear about these technologies a lot also today, where we draw the protection boundary again around the virtual machine, and then we have some virtual machine monitor, some hypervisor, and on top of that, you then spawn up multiple virtual machines, realms, enclaves, however you may name them, according to the technology. And then inside your project area, you have your guest OS, maybe some container runtime. On the top, you have some applications running. So these are, let's say, multiple levels of, depending on how big you draw your box in your technology that you're using. But all of them have the idea that you cannot access from the lower levels the data that is running in the higher levels. So here, for example, the OS or the normal world OS or the TSHIM or VMM host OS don't have access to application data. And I think that is the core idea for all this confidentiality. And you can also have attestation on top of that, that you can convince remote people that, yes, this is the case. My host OS does not have access to my data. And taking a look at how are we doing this today? We have three talks that are in this right column, TDX Deep Dive, and we talk about SV Step and about Mushroom. Then we have two more talks that are in the other domains, one about FTPM, one about databases. And then, of course, we always have talks that are a little bit cross-cutting, that don't really fit into these type of boxes, that are, I think, also about attestation and kind of how do we work with this. Now, our dev room is unfortunately, has become very popular. I thank all of you for submitting great talks. We could only fit 8, and we were hurting for that a lot. So I want to give some honorable mentions here to folks that we could not fit today. So there were quite some talks about Project Verizon. There was a talk by Thomas also last year on that. Check it out if that sounds interesting to you. We had suggestions about confidential containers, confidential clusters, on OpenStack, about remote attestation in telecom, and about formalizing remote attestation. And I put the links here. The slides are on the schedule. Check them out. I think that these are all great. And we also have some. We also didn't feel that it's justified to have our own talks up here. If you already had to reject talks. So we did cool stuff on SGX, some small execution, and Joost trying to build some bare SGX enclaves for the community. You can also check out these if that sounds interesting. I hope that we can kind of start some community building around the times when we are not all here together.
also keep submitting your talks. Next year we are trying to get a full day dev room. I think this year it didn't work because of other dev rooms, but given the apparent success, I think we will get there at some point. And keep submitting talks, and we'll try to get more space from the Fulham organizers.
Exactly. So we hope to have more engagement in the next years and move bigger to a full day so that we can have more of these talks at the same time. So this is just a schedule in short. How it will work for the speakers. So that we always have a 5-minute switchover. For people have some breathing room to go in and out, maybe have some side discussions. At the same time, please also leave some room for Q&A. I think that's from my side. Welcome. I'm not sure if you want to say something.
Yeah, maybe just a couple of practicalities. So we will, the room is limited, right? But there are still spots here and there. So people who are standing, please feel free to take a spot. And the logistics are not ideal here, but if you see people coming in, try to move to the middle, or if there's like spaces left. We're not sure, but the previous dev rooms were really full, and it would be a bit sad to kind of put on the door that people cannot come in if there is still seats left. So as long as there is seats left, we will not close the room. Also in those 5-minute breaks, if you want, you can go in and out. Again, the logistics are not ideal, but we'll make it work.